Hebrew. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 4 tonight with me, please. First book of the Bible, the first book of Moses, it's also called. Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Father, bless your word now. Anoint it and anoint the messenger. May it fall upon good ground. May it bring forth fruit. In thy name I pray. Amen. God had a reason for leaving us the Bible, folks, giving us the Bible, a better way to put it, because it's the Word of God. And just recently, some church down in Nashville, Tennessee, I think they call themselves Baptist, said that they don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They simply believe that whatever culture that you're living in, you interpret the Bible as it helps you in that culture, and so forth and so on. A bunch of rigmarole that means nothing. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. It is infinitely above me, and therefore throughout my lifetime I can go to the Scriptures. I can search the Scriptures as the Bereans did, and that in doing so I can receive something from the Lord. Can you imagine in your mind's eye for just a moment when God made a garden? Beautiful garden. He called it Eden. Eden means delight, a garden of delight. Beautiful, wondrous place. You would think that his creatures being placed in a place like that would be so thankful that they love the Lord, they'd serve the Lord, and they would rejoice in all that God had given them. That's all they ever knew. That's he awakened. Adam came into being in that garden, and so did Eve. And they were brought forth into a beautiful, wondrous place. But we know what happened. We know they sinned. And when they sinned, they brought death into the world. Day you eat, you shall surely die. Don't ever let anybody tell you they didn't. They died spiritually that day. But they're about to encounter something they've never seen before. This is something so horrible, so horrific, that they can't imagine that where they had been, their life was about to make a drastic change. For when they found their son, Abel, lying on the ground in his own blood, I'm sure it shook them to reality, the kind of reality where the wages of sin is death, and sin always brings forth death. And so the first murder in the Bible is there with our first parents, and it's the murder of one sibling to the other, and it is not unusual this day for children to kill their brothers or their sisters, or for mothers and fathers to kill their whole family. I mentioned this morning about the man by the name of Charles Lawson, who lived in the 20s in North Carolina. He came from what's called Lawsonville. And he murdered his family, his wife and his children, and then he committed suicide himself. So death is in this world. Death is here. You're going to see it. You're going to experience it. And by the grace of God, if you don't have the Lord, the Holy One, it's going to take a toll on you. It's really going to eat at your soul. The book of Genesis chapter 9, verse 29, talks about Noah. Noah lived 950 years, it says, and then he died. No doubt he died an old man, having fulfilled his days, had done what God called him to do. He was a man, had memories on both sides of the flood. Noah knew long before the flood came on that side of the flood. And then he knew the world on the other side of the flood. He crossed over from one land to the other. And you talk about a life that is filled full. Noah's life, no doubt, was filled full. And remember, 950 years he was on this earth. The only one that lived longer than him was Methuselah. 969 years Methuselah lived. His name means when he is dead, it will be sent. There's the death of Goliath that's recorded in the Bible. How did he die? He died with his own sword. The stone knocked him down. David took the sword of Goliath and cut his head off and held it up for the enemies of God to see that their champion, their great champion, their warrior that they fought behind, the one who led them in the battle, was lying dead in the field before them. There's death. A lot have died like that. They've come against God. They shook their fist in the face of God and says, there is no God. If there is a God, show yourself. I read a thing the other day that said on occasion, I believe it's about 5 or 6 people that had blasphemed God, and they were all dead within 6 months. after they did that. Dead. And God wanted people to know that He can take you from the face of this earth. And they were gone. Dead. So Goliath of Gath, one of the Philistines, died. Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion went down into Moab. They left the house of bread, which is Bethlehem, and they went out to God's washpot, because that's what Moab is called. And Moab, of course, was a product of the incest of Lot with his two daughters, Moab and Ammon. And so they went to Moab. Is there anything in Moab? No, there's nothing but a curse in Moab, too. They have no promise in Moab that God's going to bless them, but they do in Bethlehem. They have no promise in Moab that there's anything but death, and they learned it firsthand. Can you imagine how Naomi felt? Her name, Naomi, in Hebrew means blessed, blessed, beautiful. And she went down and came back into Bethlehem. And they said, here's Naomi. She said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. For God has been rough. He's been hard with me. She came back a widow. She came back with somebody, though, that was different from who she took with her. She came back from somebody like there's so many of them out there in that world today. You remember what the Lord said in John chapter number 4 when He met the woman at the well? Think on what I'm saying now. When He met that woman at the well, He said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's talking to you, you'd ask of me. We take it for granted, but folks, they don't know the gift of God. They know there is a God, man upstairs, supreme being, all that junk. But they don't know Him. They don't know Him. They don't know Him. If they had, if they knew, they'd ask of Him. The Lord said to Chorazin and Bethsaida, He said, the men of Sodom, if they had had the preaching that you've had, they would have long since repented in sackcloth and ashes. That tells you God knows what's going to happen when the gospel goes to them. He knows all things, folks. He knows everything there is to know. You're not going to second guess God. And He said they would have repented. How come you didn't repent? I read a thing today about churches in Africa. And these churches in Africa are amazed at what's going on in America. They're saying people in America, they're counseling about this, they're counseling about that. They hunt up a counselor here and a counselor there. They said, we don't get counselors, we just repent. And there's a lot of truth in that, believe me. A lot of truth. We just repent. I believe repentance will take care about all of our problems, don't you? I think they will. So Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. His name is instructed Elimelech. That means Elohim is the king. El is the king. And so Elimelech. There's Saul, Ahithophel, and Judas. These three committed suicide. Suicide is one of the saddest things in the world. I've known suicide in the past. I've been to it. I've preached funerals of people that committed suicide. It's hard. It's hard on the family. Hard on the children. It's a hard thing to deal with. A suicide. To take your life, and most of the time they do that and try to get away, hide, run from their problems. You can't get away from them like that, dear friend. Your works do follow you. They're going to follow you. They're going to follow you. There's nothing you can do to change that. So you ought to think about how you're living. Don't base your life on some prayer you prayed 20 years ago. How are you living? What do you really believe in your soul? Do you have something that changed your life? That's what you count upon. Amen. And so Saul committed suicide, fell on his own sword. Ahithophel was a wise man, wise, a good man. Ahithophel was head and shoulders above Saul or Judas by far and away. Yet they didn't listen to his counsel, and he went home and set his house in order and committed suicide. Then there's Judas Iscariot. My, what a privileged person he was, set by the fireside. Watched him walk on water there at the Lord's Supper. All of this, he saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. He saw the demons leave. He saw Christ in all of his miracles. Somebody said, if I could only see these things, preacher, I could believe. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. It's like the Pharisees 2,000 years ago said that, they said, if it had been with us, we would not have killed someone. And the Lord said, you are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He doesn't know what the truth is unless he intends to use it. So Saul Ahithophel and Judas committed suicide. There's Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. How many of you recognize those two names? I memorized them, my dear friend. In 1999, April the 20th, Rachel Scott and Cassie Bernal, along with 10 other kids, were murdered, shot dead at Columbine High School. Named after the state flower, by the way. Columbine is the flower of Colorado. Look it up. It's a beautiful flower. You know, all the trappings, everything that looks good, that men say are good, and yet they could not control the lives of two young men. There's a photograph of one of them carrying this Uzi. It's a 9mm. It's got a magazine about this long, something like maybe 50, 60 rounds in it. And it can fire fully automatic. And he's walking it looks like in the lunchroom. He's carrying this. And the caption below says he'll be dead in 10 minutes. He kills himself. Not only did he kill the kids, but he killed himself. And so did Harris and Klebo, both killed themselves. Wonder where they went. Right afterward, they put up crosses for all of the kids. One teacher died. They put these crosses up. They were out in the field. And all these crosses with the names on them of these kids, had their life snuffed out, taken away from them. And then somebody put two more crosses up, and they put Klebold and Harris up there next to them. And somebody came along later and said, "No, you're not putting their cross next to them." And this person, a bunch of psychobabble garbage that you hear a lot of today, they said, "Oh, they're victims too, just like the rest of them." No. No, they're the murderers. They're the perpetrators. A problem today is that nobody can see clearly anymore. That's right. The old timer said, "Call a spade." That's right. You judge a tree by the fruit it bears. These are murderers, folks. I wouldn't give you a dime for their soul. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for it. So what do you mean? They've been burning in hell for something like 21 years, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eric Harris, Edelman Klebold. You read about King Herod in the book of Acts, chapter number 12. King Herod had a problem with one of his outlying neighbors. And there was an issue, some bad feelings between the two of them. And the Bible says that these outliers, this nation that came and they made peace with the chambermaid, and by doing that they endeared themselves to Herod. Well, Herod had just killed James, the brother of John, by the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the people, then he took Peter. You see, he's a politician, folks. He really is. This is the way a politician operates. Most politicians have no more morality, they have more decency, they don't believe anything except themselves. Not all of them, but for the most part, I think most of them, I may be wrong, it may only be 80% of them, but they're pretty bad, they really are. But he exulted in this. They said, "You're the voice, not of a man, but the voice of a God." And, oh, Herod, can you just see him when he swelled up good. And that it pumped him up. And the Bible said God smote him dead and the worms ate him. Because he gave not God the glory. That's how he died. The worms ate his body. Consumed him right before them. There's some things that happened in the Bible that ought to make you think now. They ought to make you think. You remember the rod of Aaron? Remember that rod? The rod of God? All right, he turned into a serpent. All right. The magicians standing by did the same thing. They created serpents. But the rod of God, the serpent of Aaron, consumed that serpent. But they still could do it. Listen, let me tell you something. The supernatural world will blow your mind what it's capable of. Don't kid yourself. Satan has power, but he's not almighty. And he that letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. And so, Herod, I wouldn't want to die like that, would you? Have you ever thought about how you're going to die now? Well, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come back, I hope he does, we won't die. We'll just be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Won't that be something? Meet you by the river as we leave out of here. It'll be a moment in the twinkling of an eye, too. 1 Thessalonians 4 says it plainly. There's no gradual transformation. It's zip, and that's it. Twinkling of an eye. They say that twinkling of an eye is the speed of light as it hits the back of your eyeball and comes back out at the front, 186,000 miles a second. You can't even blink that fast. And that's how fast we're going. In other words, the speed of light. Wouldn't that be something? That means you disappear. That's what that means. You disappear. It's going to be sad in some churches because there are going to be those in that church that disappear and the rest of them will say, "What happened? Where'd they go?" Because they're not ready. "Be you ready, for in such an hour as you think not, Son of Man cometh." Stephen and James were martyrs. I talked about James here. They fill in a long line of martyrs. martyrs, and they're still dying for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pope now is over in Iraq, and he's in one of those churches over there in Iraq, and the people are just having a time because the Pope is in there. But the reason he visited that particular church is because ISIS, these murdering Muslims, came in there and killed a bunch of Christians. Killed them. Now you say, well, they're Catholics or this or that. Well, you know, I've no doubt a bunch of Catholics, there's many Catholics, about as many as Baptists, are going to hell. It's what you are in your soul and in your spirit. That's what matters. Are you a real believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because some of those people over there died with great courage, and they did not deny their Lord Jesus. And they died like that. You see those cops? There was about 20 of them. The Coptic. They took them out by the I think it was the Mediterranean Sea. They had them all kneel down there, young men. And they were all kneeled down, and they cut their throat and murdered them right on the spot. But I didn't hear one of them. I didn't see one of them run. I didn't hear one of them recant. They were believers. True believers. You see, this is the irony of it. So much of the headship, so much of the ecclesiastical leadership, they're just as lost as they can be. They don't know the Lord. They're just a bunch of religious hirelings. That's all they are. But folks, the gospel of the grace of God cannot be bound. It cannot be bound. And the people that sit under them, many of them are saved. Not all of them, but many of them are saved. And so it is in the churches today. Everywhere you go. You're sitting here at Temple Baptist Church. It's good that you're here and you know each other and all that and you talk to each other. That's all fine. But do you know whom you have believed? Are you persuaded that he's able to keep that which you've committed to him against that day? Stephen and James and many, 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 many. If you want to read the list of the martyrs, look at Hebrews chapter number 11. It lists all of them. Died in faith. Tradition says that Isaiah was sawn asunder. He mentions one that was sawn asunder in Hebrews 11, but it doesn't mention his name as Isaiah. But it said sawn asunder. And tradition says that Isaiah the prophet was cut in two. Many of them died like that in the Old Testament and still dying. That's going to be quite a place when you see the martyrs. Amen. That's going to be something. I want to see the super duper. Super spiritual, super duper Christians. What do they call them? Celebrity. That's it. Celebrity Christians. That's who I'm going to find when I get up there. You may have to look long and hard before you find them. I'll tell you who you'll see. You'll see real people just like you. What are you looking for? I'm going to tell you the truth now, folks. I'm going to speak from my heart to you tonight. Some of you are following names and you're not following Christ. You're sitting next to a human being. You're sitting next to somebody that Christ died for. When you look into their eyes, I want you to remember that that soul you're talking to is precious in the sight of God. Precious indeed. Don't treat them like they're some second-class something. This is so much of this garbage. This is why the church died a long time ago. It's full of pride. Full of pride. It's dead. God resists the proud. But look at each other. Well, I'm looking for this. I'm looking. Well, you keep looking. Because God found me. I didn't find him. Christ will find you if you let him find you. And there's Peter and Paul. Look how they died. Peter said, God hath showed me how I must shortly put off this my tabernacle. Then he began to tell them what to look for, how to prepare themselves. No remorse. Paul said, I fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished my course. We've all got a course to finish. Don't quit. A quitter will never finish. Quitters will never, ever, ever finish. Stick with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. And you'll finish your course. What's your course? What are you here for? Why did God put you here? Why don't you talk to him about it? Why don't you ask him? Why don't you get off in your closet? Some of you may have to do this. Get in your closet, shut the door and say, if there's a God, I'm not sure there is a God. If there's a God, I'm willing to hear you. And I'm willing. I've got an open mind. If you're God and you're real, show me. Start talking like that, you're going to be surprised what's happening. I told a man that 30-something years ago, came up to me and he said, I don't believe there's a God. I said, tell him you don't believe there's a God. So go ahead and tell him there is no God. So tell him there's no God. If there's a God, you're going to show yourself to me. You know what happened? He melted like a he. I mean, he. When God showed up and touched that old boy, he changed completely. It was no longer looking down his nose at everybody like they're a bunch of superstitious religious people in the church. He had an encounter with God. I challenge you tonight to have an encounter with him. I challenge you. I challenge you. The reason your prayer life is dead and twice dead and plucked up by the roots is because there's no real spiritual connection with God, folks. God is not boring. He's not boring. Religion will bore you to death. But God's not boring. You start talking to Him, He'll start talking back. And when God starts talking to you, everything's going to change. Is He talking to you? Are you talking to Him? And then finally, the one who died on the cross. He died saving and forgiving. There's no man that can go to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and go away the same way. Period. Believer or not believer. If you ever have an encounter with the cross, you'll never be the same again. Never be the same again. Never, ever, ever be the same again. A couple of years ago, the state of Tennessee executed a man by the name of Billy Ray Eyrick. How many's ever heard of him? About 30 years before that, 30-something years before that, he murdered a little 7-year-old girl right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Not far from where I used to live on Beaumont. He murdered her and he did some stuff that I'm not going to mention publicly. But you can imagine what a pervert he was. And for all these years, locked up in prison, he was exhausting all of his appeals. Appeal for what? He wanted to live. He wanted to live. And he took the life of that little girl. They say that where she lived, that she'd come home and they'd give her a can, open up a can, cold can of beans or a cold can of something, hand it to her and say, "There's your lunch, your supper." That's what she had. Doesn't that break your heart? Lord God. I saw her picture. I was going through I've got some old newspapers, and last night I was going through some of them. And I got a hold of a Bible. It's a book. It's an old book. And I just had it piled up. People give me old books all the time. And I just had it stuck in my library. And I got it down and I thought, what is that? And I pulled this thing out of there. And it was a letter. It was a letter that a man had written to his beloved, his girlfriend. And he was somewhere in Ohio and she was somewhere in Texas. And he was telling her how much he loved her. Dated February 1942. You know, when I read that, I thought, and he said in his letter, she wrote back to him and said, she said, "I hope they don't call you out on the battlefield." February 1942. How many of you know what was going on in February 1942? December the 7th, 41 is when they bombed Pearl Harbor, and that's when the U.S. went into the war and declared war on Japan. Japan already declared war on us. But in February 42, he's writing back their life. I never met these people, but we'll meet them. They lived. They've been here. You see, they've been here. This monster spent 30-something years on death row doing everything he could to live. Even the cops couldn't stand him. We had a man used to come to our church here. He still comes on occasion. And many of you know who he was. He was a detective with the Knox County Police. And he came to Temple here. And he talked to me. Years ago, he told me about the family. He investigated this murder. He investigated it. So it gave me a personal connection with what was going on. Well, you know what happened? They gave him a lethal injection. He died the death of a murderer. He didn't start out as a murderer. None of us start out as murderers. We're given the opportunity tonight. I'm given it. You're given it. You have an opportunity. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How am I going to die? I don't know. But I know who I'm going to believe. I know this. I know who I am going to believe. Yes, I do. When I went in the Marine Corps, they taught us about many of the heroes of the Marine Corps. One was John Bassalone. John Bassalone was a sergeant in World War II, and he won the Medal of Honor, and he also won the Navy Cross. The Navy Cross is the highest, is the second highest medal that they can give you for valor. He won the Medal of Honor in Guadalcanal. Came back to the States, and they used him as a recruiter. They used him to teach, to train the new recruits, because he's a veteran now. He's been on the field. He's a veteran. And so they used him to do that. And then they said to him, you know, you don't have to stay in. You've already proven yourself. You've done your part. You've done your job. You know, why don't you just go home? And you've trained these young men. You don't have to stay. He said, no, I want to stay. He said, I want to go back to battle. I'm not going to train these young men and not lead them into battle. And they said, okay. They said, I'll tell you what, we're going to make a, give you a commission. Since you're going to lead them in battle, we're going to make a lieutenant out of you, give you a commission. He said, no, stay in as a guard. He was a gunnery sergeant, E7. So, no, I'm going to stay as a sergeant. Went back. First day at Iwo Jima. How many of you have seen that? Thing up there in New York, in Washington D.C., that monument to Iwo Jima, Mount Suribachi. These Marines were lifting that flag up, and they still had a lot of fighting to do on Iwo Jima. That was just at the beginning. First day, that the sergeant, gunnery sergeant, hit the beach at Iwo Jima. He was shot dead right in front of all these young men he had trained, shot dead in front of them. They were faced now, what are we going to do since our leader is not here anymore? John Bassalone had died for his country, for the love of his country. And John Bassalone was a Christian. He loved the Lord. All right? That's a different generation. But here's what it means. I know how many... Listen, Ed Ballou. Love Ed Ballou. Ed Ballou's gone to be with the Lord. I got a photograph, though, with me with Brother Ballou. Tommy Tillman just recently passed away, went on to be with the Lord. I remember 1980, Lester Roloff had gone up and with his girls, Honeybee, I think they called him, Honeybee Quartet, and he was up, I don't know, 5, 10, 15,000 feet. Something happened up there, and he crashed. And it killed, I think, every one of them on board that craft. It killed them, killed every one of them. And Brother Roloff died. And I could just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on tonight about these men of God that have gone before us. We'll follow them. We'll stick with the stuff until it's over. Yeah, we will. As James Fenimore Cooper said, they're the pathfinder. Yeah, they blazed the trail. They went before us. We're going to stick with it. We're going to stay with it till it's done. By the grace of God, until I draw my last breath, I want to be faithful to Christ to the end. How about you? How about you? Don't let the devil sift you and consume you. It gets hard for all of us. But stick with him until the end. I'd like to encourage you to do that tonight. Maybe you need to come back and say, Lord, I want to renew my pledge, my fellowship, my service. I'm your servant. I love you, Lord. And I want to live for you until I'm done. Do what you want to do with me until it's over. And here's what will happen to you. One day he'll look at you and he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd rather hear him say that to me than all everything this whole world ever. I'd rather hear that than anything this crowd out here could put on you or give you. No. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, bless your word. Thank you, Lord. Another opportunity to say something for the glory of God. Kind of help the folks remember those that have gone on before us. These people lived their lives and lived it till the end. And now we have their testimony and legacy. Father, bless us tonight. Give us courage, like John Bassalone. He had courage, Lord. Give us that kind of courage. Our Heavenly Father, like Tommy Tillman, Father, that would go and and sleep under the bridges and eat with the lepers. Give us that kind of consecration, dedication. And Father, like Ed Ballou, traveled all over this country, Ed Ballou, from one little church to another, Ed Ballou, your faithful man of God, give us that kind of consecration and dedication. In thy name I pray. Anybody in this house tonight like to come and say, Lord, this is going to be the night that I renew my fellowship. I renew my dedication. I renew the call that you put on my life. I accept fully what you've called me to do. I'm here and I'm going to keep my eye, as the Apostle Paul said, finish my course. Finish it, folks. Finish my course. Would you come to do that? That may be all you need to do. Is come and tell the Lord, I'm going to finish my course. Amen. Regardless of how hard it gets, regardless of the opposition, regardless of who tries to destroy me, I'm going to finish my course. And it's your course. It's not my course. It's your course. I've got my course. You've got your course. And I'm going to finish it. By the grace of God, I'm going to finish it. And I am, by the grace of God, until the last breath leaves this body, I'm going to finish my course because I know why I'm here. Anybody can raise your hand and say, Preacher, won't you pray for me now? God bless you back there. God bless you up here. God bless you everywhere. God bless you back here. God bless you back there. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to ask for God's blessing down upon us tonight. God bless you there and God bless you back there. Over here. Over here. God bless you on this side and over here. Father, in thy holy name, Lord, I pronounce a blessing by the grace of God upon your people. We have been blessed. We have been blessed greatly. Our Heavenly Father, we have no complaint because you've been good to us. And Lord, I pray for the unction, the anointing, the power of God to come down upon every soul in this house. And Father, I'm just a man. I don't know. I don't know how many people are saved. I assume, Father, most of them are. And I hope so. But if there's one in this house tonight that is not born again, then I pray for that soul. Hear the word of God. Dear friend, you are going to leave this world. Are you ready to leave? In thy name I pray. Amen.